Zenit, Malmo and Juventus. If you decide to go treble Chelsea, which is quite... Go on.
Price reveal!
Ronaldo's 12.5, I know that.
12.5.
Yeah, I know.
It dropped a minute ago, but you got inside information. James is mates with people at FPL Towers.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Patrons, happy 31st of August, which means transfer deadline day. Already hotting up. I don't know if it's just marketing hype, James, but I'm buying into the Cristiano Ronaldo is pretty gassed about going back to Manchester United.
You're buying into it as
yeah,
in he's gassed.
I think he is gassed up and I think he's up for it.
Can I clarify, actually? Do you know what? We wasn't going to talk about it, but like generally what's happened, in my opinion. So many of you will heard I got a big tip off from one of the patrons last Monday night.
About
Ronaldo going to City.
Yep.
100% he was going to Manchester City.
I agree.
And I think what happened is, if you look at like through what Rio Ferdinand said,
people have got in his ear.
Alex Ferguson's got involved and be like, you can't go there. And I was thinking about it more. And I think Ronaldo left United in 2009, which was the first year after City had got the money. So he'd only basically bought Robinho.
Mm-hmm.
So when he walked out of Manchester United, the rivalry was Liverpool. In fact, the rivalry for Manchester United at the time would have been bigger with both Chelsea and Arsenal.
Yep.
Than it was with Manchester City. So he probably didn't think it was a big deal. Plus, he'd have played against people like Andy Cole, who played at Man United, obviously played for Man City. Mark Hughes was the Manchester City mm-hmm. manager when he left.
Schmeichel
had gone to Man City previously
as well.
Yeah. So probably looking at it again, it's not a big deal.
Mm. I think he would have known, but the reality is that Manchester United now, a couple of times, have... scuppered deals. I think Alexis Sanchez was really on his way to City and ended up at Manchester United.
Well, City seems to have always decided, Harry Maguire's another one, not to get involved with Manchester United.
In wars, yeah. And inevitably, when Manchester United do that, they pay over the odds. Maguire, they were expensive deals.
And I think City take the view that they're not going to.
Yeah, yeah.
Ronaldo was definitely...
When I saw that they're paying this 12.8 million or whatever over 5 years, what the fuck?
Well, Juventus really wanted to get rid of him. Then that's how the whole thing came about in the first place.
That's a deal.
Was that he was desperate to... Sorry. He was desperate to get out of Juventus. Juventus wanted to get rid of him.
And
the only club that was going to take him was Manchester City.
Yeah. And now one Manchester United.
And obviously United's... I think people, including Solskjaer, were like, don't know if we can let this happen. And from the ownership point of view, obviously, they've been bashed, the Glazers and stuff, right? Could they be seen to be letting a proper icon go to Manchester City with at least not making a fight of it? So obviously, once they got involved and stuff, and it was like, yeah, Ronaldo wanted to go back to United.
Mm.
Anyway, that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about UCL fantasy as kind of just an introduction. And we do want to do pods on that every Tuesday when there's a Champions League game week. So we'll do a proper kind of final draft one in 2 weeks' time. But before we do that, we're going to talk about the latest with the quarantine issue a little bit. Now, this is moving and changing, and we haven't got the full picture as yet. But as it stands, the four Argentinian players, the two from Villa and the two from Tottenham, so that's Emi Martinez, Emi Buendia, Christian Romero and Giovanni Lo Celso have all gone to play for Argentina. Now, the South American nations all have three qualifiers. The four Argentinian players are going to play in the first two. They're not going to play the final qualifying game. The reason they're not going to play the final qualifying game is that would also rule them out of game week 5.
Right.
Now, you've still got this problem where they've got to come back and do this hotel quarantine bollocks for 10 days. So you're thinking, well, what condition are they going to be in? They're probably going to miss game week 5 as well. I've not had this confirmed, but I've heard several reports that the four players will all go and fly directly to Croatia after the second qualifier and go and train there for 10 days.
Is there a hotel with a complex?
I have no idea why Croatia. But that's what I've heard they're going to do. And at least there, they'll be allowed to keep their fitness levels up before going back to the UK. So I think it's a case of they can do their kind of quarantine there rather than the UK, but then they've done the kind of isolation whatnots and Croatia's on the green list and it's okay.
Okay.
Awkward. I don't get all that, but okay. Now, the Brazilian players, Brazil had decided they were going to let all the players off, basically. As I'd said to you when we did the podcast last week, Brazil have won their first six qualifiers. We're probably looking and going, we're going to be all right. It doesn't matter so much. Yeah. But the problem is Argentina are getting hold of a load of players, and obviously Argentina were playing Brazil during the break. So Brazil were like, well, what are we doing? Are we actually going to get these players or not? I think definitely I've heard Rafinha is not joining up, definitely, with Brazil. And it doesn't look like any of the others are as well, but they might decide to get the hump of it, because the Premier League came out after we did the pod last Tuesday and said, right, no one's going to a red list zone. So there's anger within the Premier League now that Aston Villa and Tottenham have struck up these deals with Argentina, basically. Nuno Santos said after the win at Wolves, he said, I don't really want to be denying my players going to play for their national team. It's a bit awkward and stuff.
Yeah.
So Villa made the call first on Martinez and Buendia, and then Tottenham followed on Romero and Lo Celso. And in Romero and Lo Celso's case with Tottenham, at the moment, probably neither of them were starting in game week four.
Anyway.
Romero, maybe.
Yeah.
But then the Tottenham case is muddied because I still genuinely do not know what's happening with Davinson Sanchez of Colombia. I don't know if he's going or not. If he's gone, like, finding information is just not available at the moment. So it's a moving situation. What's clear is those going are not going to play in game week four. It's absolute certainty. They cannot play. And I think, depending on when they come back, is going to impact whether they could play in the Champions League or not, if certain players do go. But it looks like no one who's going to be playing in the Champions League is going to go. Because obviously Romero and Lo Celso will miss Tottenham's first Europa League game as well. Which is interesting, because they definitely would have played that game, right?
Just to confirm, it's the Europa Conference League.
Sorry,
not the Europa League.
Russ.
Oh, dear.
Well done. Thank you for paying attention. Mikel Antonio is going to play for Jamaica.
Yeah, I heard someone tag me in. Was it Brian Stockport saying that he's not going to Jamaica?
He is going to play for Jamaica. He's travelling.
Yes, boy.
So,
my son, my little son yesterday, he comes to me. He's trying to find excuses not to go to bed last night. Yeah, it's like 8:30 or something. He's only seven. And he goes, Dad, who's better, Antonio or Rice? I go, I'd probably say Rice is a better player, mate. Yeah. He goes, but we all cheer for Antonio more. Why is that? So I go, well, basically because he makes us smile and laugh more, man. We love him. He's such a happy guy. He goes, oh, why do we all laugh? I go, because his goal celebrations are good. He's like, oh, okay. I go, come here, son. Jump in YouTube. I was like, let's watch Antonio goal celebrations.
Wow. You
YouTube.
Don't know what you've done to your
child. I've got my wife at the end of the bed. She's looking at me like, he needs to go to sleep. I'm like, look. 5 minutes of watching YouTube ain't going to do any damage. So we saw the worm. We saw him do the Macarena. We saw him do the Will Smith dance.
Where did he do the Macarena?
He did the Macarena back in the day. We've got the fish running like Homer Simpson. He's got some good goal celebrations. Anyway, Antonio, it just reminded me of last night. My son said, why do we cheer for Antonio more than we cheer for Declan Rice? He's going to Jamaica.
He is.
I bet his next goal celebration is going to be him rolling up a spliff and smoking it.
The good news is he will be available for you in game week four.
Good.
So, and this is where each individual case does need looking at in some sort of format to understand what's happening. So Antonio is going to play for Jamaica. Definitely. He's on his way. They've got three games. He's only going to play the first one, because the other two are in red list countries.
Right.
He's going out there to play the first game and then he's coming back.
I need to get me a Jamaican national shirt with Antonio on the back.
Okay. When's your birthday?
October.
There you go, patrons. You know what to buy Serge for his birthday.
No, you don't need to buy me nothing, patrons. Honestly, it's good.
Why, do a wind up. Don't do number 9, though. Get like number 30. You know, old school.
Old school. I don't even know if national squads will get up to the number 30, will they?
No, probably not. Don't get 30 on the back. In fact, don't buy Suge a Jamaican shirt.
Let him
buy his own
Jamaican shirt.
Suge will buy it. But you know what you'll do? He'll get Antonio on the back, but he'll buy like the 2006 one or something, because it'd be a bit cheaper than the current one.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. $34.99. Shout out to FPL fella who just, I saw on Twitter, tweeted, he's gone shopping and he saw an Arsenal shirt in Sports Direct for £12. And even that's expensive,
I bet was probably more popular as the 1998 shirt, because that's when they qualified for the World Cup.
I will be doing some research. It could be possible post Antonio making his debut for Jamaica that I'll be getting a Jamaica Antonio shirt just for shits and giggles.
All right, mate.
So, what else do we know? Any African issues? Any Asian issues?
I don't think so. No issues with Heung-Min Son. Absolutely none. Africans depend on where they're playing. So, Liverpool's stance on Salah was that he couldn't play the game in Egypt, but he could go and play the second game. I forget where it was, but it's a green list country. And I think that's probably the same situation as what's going to happen, actually. The other benefit, of course, with Liverpool is following the Champions League draw, their fixture with Leeds will now stay to Sunday. So there's an extra day's break for Leeds-Liverpool players. Everton Burnley's the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is a Saturday in game week 4. We just got to keep an eye on it and see if there's any individual cases. But I think the most concerning one would be if perhaps Brazil come back and start making demands because Argentinian players have been let to go and play. Anyone who flies to South America is not playing in game week 4. It's a certainty. Right. The whole continent is on the red list. There is no way out of it.
Cool. What about then the other loser of the people's poll topic was Champions League.
So what I want to do this year is, and we did do a mini league on Slack with the patrons last year for UCL Fantasy. We didn't cover it off at all. And we've done a bit of Fantasy Scotland. We've done a bit of Gaffer. One of the beauties of obviously joining in with UCL Fantasy is it is never going to clash with a deadline with FPL. So you can spend a bit of time on a Monday night or a Tuesday afternoon and not be worried, I've got to do this team as well, and give it a little bit of focus. It may well clash with your Gaffer Championship team, but you haven't. It's not. Although you've got to juggle it as another fantasy aspect, it shouldn't really impact your brain power time for FPL.
No,
and
understood.
Stuff like that.
And I've never played Champions League fantasy before, have you?
Yeah, I played it last year.
Yeah. So one of the things I liked about the Euro 2020 fantasy was the short time period in which you were playing it. It was over a few weeks, job done. This to me feels like it's going to be similar in format to the Euros, where the number of players per team increases, your budget increases, and so on and so on, but spread over 7 months. Or 8 months or something.
Basically, yeah. You've only got to think about it once every 2 weeks or so, haven't you? And I'll do a podcast with you to remind you on
Perfect.
A Tuesday.
But it's just then, like, when it's over a short time period, remembering bench fodder players from the back of beyond teams and stuff becomes a lot easier when you spread it over a time period. I'm not spending a lot of time studying it. But fine. All right. So we've got group stages, pick your teams, knockout stages. Free wild card after the group stages?
Yep. So unlimited transfers after the group stage.
Mm-hmm.
There is one wild card, which works the same as FPL. And there is one limitless chip. Now, the limitless chip is like the free hit chip, but there is no budget restrictions. If you want to go Messi, Mbappe and Neymar up front, as long as Mbappe, well, actually, it doesn't matter. Even if Mbappe's at Real Madrid, you can go with all three. If you want to get like Trent, Robertson, Kimmich, Davies, go mad, you can do all of that. You can go proper powerful. What I would say is, just as a little bit of a pointer, and I think we learnt this in the Euros, is the limitless chip and the wild card chip should probably be used in a group stage, ideally.
Yeah, I learnt this in...
So the limitless chip, I think, and I haven't delved into the fixtures enough properly, but either game week 2, 3 or 4. And the reason 2, 3 or 4 is, obviously you can't use it in game week 1, actually, you probably can, but you just wouldn't do that.
No.
Game week 5 or 6, because a lot of the teams will qualify and then rotate a little bit, you're kind of missing out on the... In the first 4 game weeks, all the top boys should play in the Champions League to make sure they're through, etc. So I think 2, 3 or 4 for limitless, depending on kind of where you're at, and it's possibly going differences against what you've got in your squad. So, for example, Chelsea, you've got a group with Zenit, Malmo and Juventus. Now, if you decide to go treble Chelsea, which is quite... Go on.
Price reveal!
Ronaldo's 12.5, I know that.
12.5.
Yeah, I know.
It dropped a minute ago, but you got inside information. James is mates with people at FPL Towers.
What Sish doesn't know is when I was saying on the pod about 12.5, he doesn't know that I already knew.
Yeah. So how long before you're on the FPL show, bastard?
I don't even get invited on that shit. I'm not as beautiful as you. Anyway, my point being, so let's say you want to go treble Chelsea, which is, I don't think, it's unreasonable. They've got a group of Juventus, Zenit and Malmo. Now, you might think, well, when I do Limitless, I don't want free Chelsea against Juventus.
Yeah.
So you can attack another team. Perhaps you might decide, perhaps Liverpool have got Milan, Atletico and Porto. You might decide to attack free Liverpool when they're playing Porto and not have them the rest of the time. That kind of thing makes sense.
Yeah.
Fine. Wildcard, I think, probably also should be used perhaps for those last two group games, is my immediate thinking, to cover that issue. The who's already qualified, I don't want to deal with a rotation risk. You can target teams who perhaps have definitely got a last couple of competitive games. And obviously you've got unlimited for the last 16 anyway, so you don't have to worry about, oh, I've got six players being eliminated. That's probably not going to happen anyway. But your unlimited can obviously deal with it. And then there's further transfers in a knockout stage, so it's not just all last 16. You can make transfers between the two legs as well. So you really can get out of problems.
Right.
So I really think wildcard in the group stage as well, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
So template for me would be Limitless 2, 3 or 4, wildcard probably 5, or you could use it as 6 as an additional free hit, for example. Mm-hmm. There's a few different ways of doing it. I'm not going to look too much at fantasy players now, just a couple of things in terms of the scoring that is slightly different to what you'd be familiar with FPL, and there are a couple of very slight differences to Euro fantasy. So in Euro fantasy, there was no points for ball recoveries. There is in this.
Okay, what's a ball recovery?
So free ball recoveries, when you retain possession, you get 1 point.
When you retain possession?
Well, no, like when you win it back.
Oh, when you regain possession.
So interceptions, winning it back, yeah. All that jazz, Kante.
Tackle or interception, yeah. Basically, is the two.
Think N'Golo Kante and players like that. So this is not going to go mad. Kante, you're looking at 3 or 4 pointers rather than 2 pointers, aren't you? But it does make a player like him potentially viable from a budget perspective. Okay. Of course, also man of the match. There's 3 points for man of the match in each game as well, which we didn't have in Euro Fantasy. Sky players will be familiar with that.
Is it arbitrary?
I don't know. I presume it will be the official UEFA, won't it?
Yeah. Okay.
Which means more popular players. More popular players.
It's not a scoring system I like, basically.
More popular players, are going to clean up the man of the matches. Fine. The goal scorers and stuff.
Fine.
We can,
all right,
we can, particularly in the group stage, I think it's like, okay, give it to Haaland would be man of the match every game for Dortmund. I would have thought maybe possibly.
It's like I don't like it. It's one of those strange ways.
This wasn't, I don't think, in UCL fantasy last year. If it was, okay, fine. I've missed it. I think it might be new.
Fine, cool.
And the only other difference to FPL essentially is points for winning or conceding penalty. So you get 2 points if you win a penalty, irrespective of whether it's scored or not, minus one if you're the player who concedes the penalty. Otherwise, the scoring is very similar to FPL. For those who didn't play Euro Fantasy and do want to join in, what you don't want to do is pick 4 shit players on the bench. Pick 15 players, essentially. So what you can do is you basically want to kind of split your squad into half. One between half of it for groups A to D and half of it for groups E to H. It doesn't have to be half, but what you don't want is 15 players from groups A to D and nothing from the other 4 groups.
Correct.
Because after the Tuesday is completed, you can bring 4 players off your bench to replace your 4 shittest players.
Correct.
Right. So you have 4 active subs, you have a squad of 15. And obviously, each week in the Champions League, the Tuesday, Wednesday fixtures turn rounds. Rivals first that week, it's second the next week, and then so on. But yeah, you don't want 15 players from A to D. You need a spread between the 2 nights football. It also means you can move your captain. So if you're not happy with your captain return on the Tuesday, you can move it to whoever you want to captain on the Wednesday. So you want 2 playing goalkeepers. That's a certainty, isn't it? Get a 1 group goalkeeper who's playing between groups A to D, and get 1 goalkeeper who's playing between groups E to H. There's a certainty. You have to play the game like that. Otherwise, it's a complete waste.
Got it.
In terms of the draw, honestly, I don't want to look at too many UCL fantasies at the moment because we'll do that more in two weeks. But the draw.
A watch list episode, per se.
Yes, and cool. Final drafts, properly delving into it. Because cool. The honest truth is, I haven't yet. And there are teams that I want to delve into because of the draw.
So, do you know what's really funny? Is when we do Patreon pods in the studio, we only do the audio. Yeah, it's you just still have to look at the camera, which is not non-existent.
Hi.
I'm looking at James. James is like looking
I did
over.
That on one of the pods the other day. I went, why am I looking at the camera?
The artificial camera that doesn't exist.
Not only is the camera not on, the camera's not even there.
Yeah, all right. Cool.
Group A is yes. Manchester City's group. So they're in with Paris Saint-Germain, Red Bull Leipzig, Club Brugge. It's a fairly tricky group, but then that's a perfect one where you think, oh, if I got the City team for Bruges, get the three I want for the limitless chip, yep. Right? Otherwise, you might want to avoid them a bit. It's not brilliantly easy for PSG as well, but you probably want one. Liverpool's group is Group B. It's tough. Atletico, Milan and Porto. I think generally those three teams are probably worth avoiding a little bit because that's very competitive.
Yeah.
Only two of them is going to go through, obviously. Porto have been battered a few times by Liverpool, but they're always a side that are in and around qualifying for the last 16, so they can't be ruled out either. Now, to give you a group that's interesting, I think will throw up interesting prospects for group for Euro Fantasy, Group C looks quite open. You've got Dortmund, Ajax, Sporting Lisbon and Besiktas. So if Besiktas had fallen in that Liverpool group, for example, I don't think you'd look at their assets. But actually, in that group, maybe you would. So there's a sort of team I want to have a look at. Same for Sporting Lisbon. The obvious name that stands out from that group is, oh my God, Haaland's got six very reasonable fixtures. I think I need him. And I would be astonished if I don't start with Haaland in this game with the group that he's got. Group D, Inter and Real Madrid have each other. And I'm pretty sure the two clubs were both in the same group as Shakhtar Donetsk last year, and they are again. And the third team in that group is Sheriff Tiraspol, who are the Moldovan champions and the first team ever from Moldova to qualify for the Champions League. We played them in the Europa League, Serge, a few years back. And they have a brilliant badge because their badge is literally designed like a sheriff's
star.
I've seen it. Group E, Barcelona are worth avoiding, generally speaking, although there is one very cheap asset that I've noticed already that might be of interest. They've got Bayern Munich in Group E. Benfica will give them a challenge, and so will Dynamo Kiev. I honestly would not be stunned if Barcelona went out in the group stage. Group F, Manchester United have a meeting again with last year's Europa League final opponents, Villarreal, and the dangerous Atalanta. Young boys of Switzerland make up that group. Group G is another one where I really want to delve into the teams. I guess Seville are probably the favourites in that group. They've been drawn alongside Lille, Salzburg and Wolfsburg. That's a very open group. So this is the sort of one where I think, okay, is there someone in there who can get me good attacking returns from these teams who have been priced differently? Because the pricing was all done before the draw was done, right?
Right.
So these are four teams also want to have a big look at. Chelsea have got Juventus, I said, in Group H with Zenit and Malmo. You would strongly expect those teams to go through. Malmo did knock out Rangers in the qualifier, but will obviously big outsiders from Sweden. Zenit, normally a team you beat at home and you go there and you win 1-0 and you forget about the shit, basically. So I think Group C and Group G, the eight teams there are the teams that I really want to have a focus on between now and the podcast in 2 weeks to see what assets we can find from there. Otherwise, we look at the premiums. So I've given you, to give you an idea, I've done a first draft and I've only got one player in this draft who I think you won't have heard of maybe. Otherwise, everyone's in there. And I've not looked at this in any detail, but this is a 15-man squad. And what I've got eight players, I think, playing on the first Tuesday, seven playing on the first Wednesday, a little bit of balance. So keepers, I've gone with Onana from Ajax, who there has been some investigation about, and I'm not sure if he's actually going to be available as yet, but he's cheap and cheerful from Ajax. He's in one of them attractive groups. So too is the Seville keeper, Bono. So I'm kind of looking to use them too. Bono's probably the player you haven't heard of. Defensively, Upamecano from Bayern Munich, Antonio Rudiger, Matthias De Ligt from Juventus, Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Thomas Meunier of Borussia Dortmund. Midfield, Mason Mount of Chelsea, Federico Chiesa of Juventus, Nico Barella, who had an outstanding Euros for Italy, is at Inter Milan, Ferran Torres of Manchester City, and Eric Lamela of Seville, who's had a good start with them, and they're in one of those attractive groups. Up front, Haaland, Lukaku, that's to jump the captaincy between the two knights. And as a placer at the moment, I've got Barcelona's Martin Braithwaite, who's only 6 million. And although I don't fancy him much, it enables quite a lot. The problem you have is, with this, once you go three heavy ones, if you went with, say, Benzema or Messi as well, it really breaks up the rest of your team quite a bit in terms of all...
Budget.
Yeah, you really start going down, oh, okay, I'll go with a 4.5. And really, you want 15 players in this. Like, Salah is really attractive. He's 10.5 midfielder. But am I going to captain him with that group they've got? Even though you get to flip it between the two knights. And I think some of what Lukaku and Haaland's got is probably not. So I'll come back and look at that in more detail in a couple of weeks. But that's a first draft of basically popular players at decent pricing and stuff. So I think it'll be natural for those who play new. You are going to go to what you know, which is going to be the four English clubs and... Let's call them the Super League clubs,
basically.
Paris Saint-Germain, that's Bayern Munich. That's where you're going to look in the first instance. But we really want to have a look at those two attractive groups, Group C, Group G, to see if we can find some value from those eight clubs. If anyone's got any particular suggestions, drop me in the UCL Fantasy channel on Slack.
Sounds like a plan. I'm not even going to bother with Europa Fantasy.
Isn't Europa Fantasy?
They don't do one.
I don't think so.
I thought they did one. Maybe not. Okay, good.
I have to say, just to comment on Europa, there's obviously less clubs in it this year because they've kind of split half to the Conference League. And Europa League quality of the competition looks so much better.
There's a group, I think it's Lazio, Galatasaray, I think Marseille, and another. I think it's a Russian club. Maybe Moscow, CSKA Moscow. Thank fuck we're not in that group. I won't come away with my life, mate. Is that not four clubs with mental fans? Lazio, Moscow, Galatasaray.
Go and check if that's the group.
And Marseille.
I ain't got no reception. But yeah, to be honest, I was thinking you wouldn't get out of that group. Which
I wouldn't
is
get out of it alive, mate.
Imagine them away games. Fair point, you just wouldn't bother, mate.
Nah, not even.
Announcement.
Having said that, I've said to my missus, would you prefer Belgium or Austria?
Announcement on whether fans can travel into Europe. At the moment, they cannot. Yeah. Is likely to be made in the next week or so.
It's Lokomotiv Moscow. But yeah, Galatasaray, Marseille, Lazio and Lokomotiv Moscow.
I'm not aware of any specific Lokomotiv Moscow issues. I am with certainly some racist stuff with Siska in the past. Yeah. But yeah, no, you wouldn't. You get through to the
Fight
knockouts.
Club, if ever there was a Europa League group.
It'll be interesting to see if those clubs are allowed to go and travel to play each other.
Yeah, our group was not too bad. We'll talk about it in Tottenham tomorrow. Zagreb.
Yeah, save it. Decent draw for you.
And Austria.
I think
Vienna,
just a little bit disappointed you didn't have a big name in there. Like, if you don't get out of that group, you'd be a bit disappointed, I think.
Very disappointed. Yeah. It depends what happens in the rest of today. If we add a bit of depth and there are two or three more names coming in, then I think we sleep easier at night finally and say we've got a bit of depth and we've got a bit of a...
Yes, we will. We will mention these European draws on tomorrow's Tottenham as well and whatever happens in the deadline day window. There's about, I don't know, 10 hours left at time of recording.
Right, patrons, switch us off. Go and put Sky Sports on or whatever else. Jim White, and we'll
catch
you
tomorrow. White's doing it anymore, I don't think.
Who knows, who cares?
Someone will still wear a yellow tie.
Stay safe, ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Be nice to each other. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.